change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello again. This is the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy to be speaking today with Karina Sadler, CDA. Karina is a volunteer manager for local government in North Texas. Karina, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Great. Did I get the introduction correct?
You did.
Good. So we're going to talk obviously about issues in volunteer management today. In your notes that you sent to me, you say you run a local volunteer program that had capacity at one time for up to 10,000 volunteers a year. That's a lot. How did you manage that?
Yeah, so I don't do it all by myself. I represent a great team in local government at the city of Plano in North Texas, right outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. And we have a centralized volunteer department within our city government, and we engage volunteers across city departments. So those numbers include corporate group projects, home repair events, litter cleanups. We have a large police association of volunteers who patrol. We pretty much count everyone that lends a hand for the city.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is a lot. I could see why that could balloon up to 10,000 pretty quickly. What has pandemic done to you guys?
Wow. So it has really hit every volunteer program, I think, around the globe pretty hard. In one day, our program shut down. So
in one day,
the call was made to pause volunteering.
Wow.
So that affected every single department in the city. It affected a lot of people. And so we are slowly bringing back online small programs and a few of our most dedicated volunteers with all the protocols in place to restart service, but it is still at a crawl just for safety.
Sure. I was wondering if any of those volunteer purposes might have pivoted, as they say, you know, the stuff that you used to do in person. I was wondering if there was anything that volunteers could turn around and do online.
Working in government, pivoting quickly to virtual is not an easy feat. That's something, you know, I've been 15 years in local government, so I was not, I was not hurt by that. The concept we were just going to pause rather than pivot for a period of time.
Yeah.
But we've been able to bring back some like virtual English language facilitation. When we have volunteers that have dedicated over 10 years to certain programs, 15 years, we know they have broader skill sets and they could go virtual. So for certain programs, being able to figure that out is a big win. And especially our English conversation programs through our public library system, giving the volunteers leadership to facilitate those Zoom meetings mm-hmm. has been really exciting. And I hope a lot of local governments will be able to continue those kind of crazy, innovative ideas in the future.
Right. So, you know, Nonprofit Snapcast, I'm sure people are thinking, what does, working with local government have to do with nonprofit management? And I would turn the ball over to you for that, because I think that there would be many parallels. Plus, I'm sure you interface with a number of nonprofits on a regular basis on top of that, right?
Definitely. So being a local government volunteer manager, I am listening to what's happening in the community and a lot of what happens, viewing it through the lens of our nonprofit partners is really important. I'm reading their newsletters. I'm fans of their work. They are frontline like we are as government response, but they are meeting different needs, you know, different immediate needs. And that they are a strong indicator of what is to come for our neighborhoods, for our business community, for the city as a whole. So being receptive to their missions and how COVID has affected those missions is really important. And I believe those partnerships between government and nonprofits have really shined through COVID, where you see so many organizations teaming up to get things done.
Can you cite a couple examples of that? I don't know if it's possible to do that. I'm never one to shy away from naming names. I think when people do good jobs, it's important to say good things about them. But I was wondering if you could just provide a couple of examples.
Yeah, we have a great food pantry in Plano called Minnie's Food Pantry with Cheryl Jackson at the helm. They went into action immediately, partnering with the city, with the school districts to immediately disperse food when our students couldn't get meals at the school, really spreading awareness and then allowing people to continue to serve where some organizations' doors had to close. That was a nonprofit that continued to spread the message that you can serve with us. We will make it safe. We need support. And I think so many people who have never donated to a nonprofit, never understood that there's hunger in our communities to this magnitude, were getting those messages. And I think the partnerships really spread that.
I know that you train volunteer managers on how to become more valued within their organization. How do you do that?
So I have great opportunities through our local and national associations to get in front of groups of volunteer managers. And now that's in a Zoom room, but I'll take it.
Yeah, sure. So
I talk a lot about the field of volunteer engagement and why we need to keep the focus on professionalizing it, not just making it some add-on position or some fluffy, nice thing to have in these organizations, but an integral, you know, strategic position. And part of that is telling the story of what we do as volunteer engagement professionals. So I tell a lot of volunteer managers to speak up, to share their unique perspectives and experiences. And since we're virtual, I think social media is a great way to do that, to share video and pictures and stories of the real work that's happening.
Right. And people should be making better use of social media in general. But how do you encourage that? I think the social media game is also kind of hard to do when you don't have a ton of in-person activities that can generate content. How then do you continue to tell the story via social media?
So there's a, you know, just because our program paused for 8 months doesn't mean I didn't have 37 years of history of my program and all the impact that our volunteers have made. So bringing back that impact, it's not gone. It's still there. And these volunteers, like I said, that have invested 10, 15 years, we cannot forget that investment. And there's content everywhere. There's so many stories or so many things that can be brought out. And speaking of those partnerships, we're running our Adopt an Angel program now, partnering with three nonprofits, and their stories can become part of my story. And our employees who are giving, those stories are real. And what makes them give and why are they choosing to participate? Or if we're helping one another, we're adopting our own employees whose spouse might be struggling. So there's so many rich stories that can be told through social media. And I think some professionals are afraid to get too personal or to put a picture or share a video. But the more that we talk about these professional roles and how we are connected to the greater stories of our community, I feel like for volunteer managers, that's going to raise our profile.
Yeah, no, I think that's excellent advice. I mean, there's always a story to tell. And I think that nonprofits forget to keep roping in their volunteer folks in order to facilitate the telling of that story. It's not just the fundraisers who get to tell that story. It's the volunteers as well.
Yeah, but volunteer managers are great PR. I mean, we are, even now, you know, talking to people, getting feedback from people, sharing things and applying people's passions to service. These are great positions in organizations that have a very deep connection to people's draw to the mission, you know, why people show up.
Right. Which is why I think I would agree with you when you say it's a mistake to get rid of volunteer managers as part of any kind of downsizing plan. Because I think telling the story is critical. I mean, but you, I'm sure you have something else to add to that, why it's critical to keep your volunteer managers on board, even if the volunteer need has decreased for a while.
Yes, I wouldn't be a proponent of volunteer engagement professionals if I didn't say that. Please don't fire your volunteer manager. Right. I just think it is such a key position. If you hired the right person from the start, that person is a dynamic professional with so many different skills. Their view of their long range view of planning on how to keep volunteers integrated to the mission, their connections across programs, across staff, I think is really deep. And again, they carry the histories of all the people that have given, donated, supported, and those people love that connection, and mm-hmm. those people will be impacted. And again, it's a PR thing as well. The, you know, management of volunteers successfully is a great testament to the organization. And I think if you decide to take volunteers off the agenda, it can be dangerous territory. If you think of how many of your volunteers are donors, how many might be compelled to donate soon, who has that information, who's keeping these impactful relationships, it's going to be the volunteer manager.
Right. And that, I think that's critical. You know, I think you're right. These are the people who actually have their finger on the pulse of mission-driven activities most of the time for many nonprofits, not all nonprofits, obviously, but many of them would be lost without their volunteer component. So I think you're right. I think, you know, it would be a mistake to fire a volunteer manager just for that reason. That's very well said.
And you want your volunteers to come back. And every time they do come back, that is a huge compliment to your organization and to, you know, what they experienced before. And it might be coming back, not physically right now. It might be coming back and viewing some of your content that you're putting out, attending an educational activity that your organization is doing. It could be contributing to a new campaign. But those returns are so great to keep that momentum instead of having to send a letter 4 months later, begging people to return. Maintaining is really critical right now.
Sure, absolutely. What else has COVID done to us? I mean, when COVID hit, everything changed within a very short period of time. What helps a volunteer manager do their job these days?
I think networking, for sure, keeping in touch with people, even through Zoom, through email, maintaining, again, those relationships on behalf of the organization out into the community and hearing what's happening. I know a lot of associations have stepped up to provide training. How do you lead a virtual orientation for volunteers? How do you talk to your volunteers about safety if they choose to return? How do you keep volunteers engaged if they're not comfortable returning, but they've still given 5 years of their life to your mission? What does that look like? So I think a lot of volunteer managers learning, maintaining that desire to do better and to do more, propelled by associations that are willing to be creative and to try to gather all these resources pretty fast.
Yeah. You mentioned professional associations in there. What associations are you thinking of?
So in the field of volunteer management, there are local associations just for volunteer managers that are usually called DOVIAs or AVMs. I'm part of two, one in Dallas and one in Fort Worth, DADV and DOVIA Tarrant County. And then we also have national associations like ALIVE, which is the Association of Leaders and Volunteer Engagement, which national associations have always been virtual, you know, they just don't show up at the conferences in person right now. But the national associations, I think, had it pretty good going into this as far as powerful websites, capabilities to do webinars, technology, you know, people on the boards that understand how to do all these things we need to do now. So that experience hopefully is carried over to these smaller associations that are now trying to mirror them and offer those same virtual tools.
Right. It's these are new names to me. I'm only used to names like the COVA, Council of Volunteer Administrators. And there was another one that escapes me at the moment, but I've, these other organizations are new to me. So I'll definitely have to look those up.
Yeah, I'm also on a committee for the Council for Certification in Volunteer Administration, the CVA that you introduced me with. And that is a group of 1,100 professionals who have taken an exam and received a credential as a certified volunteer administrator.
Ah, okay. Got it. What does credentialing mean?
So you are learning the best practices for the field of volunteer engagement. You take an exam. There's a textbook. If you pass your exam, you receive your credential, and then you join this group who are long-term doing the work and research and promoting volunteerism and professionalizing the role of the volunteer manager in organizations.
Got it. So there's clearly some education and an exam involved, I would imagine.
Yep. There's an exam twice a year. There's a pretty good sized textbook. There's so many resources out there for volunteer managers, maybe not so many compared to other professions, but we're working on it. And there's a lot of people sharing resources and tips and YouTube videos and so much just for the field of volunteer management.
Yeah. Karina, we're rapidly running out of time. Is there any parting word of advice you would have for volunteer managers out there now who may be struggling or people who are thinking about getting into the field?
I know this year has been really challenging for volunteer professionals, but I urge you to continue your work, to keep going, to keep being creative, to keep talking to your leadership about new and innovative ways to engage the community during COVID, and to not forget to keep learning and reading and reaching out.
Right. Karina, thank you. If it were appropriate, how would you suggest a listener get in touch with you if they had any questions?
Yeah, so I connected with Mickey on LinkedIn, so mm-hmm. you can connect with me there as well. I'm also on Instagram at Karina in Plano.
Karina in Plano, very cool. Karina, I really appreciate this. The volunteer management piece is something we need to talk about a lot more in the Snapcast, so I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for making this episode with me today.
Thank you.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite you to be a part of these conversations. If you have an idea for the program or would like to be a guest on a future episode, please drop us a line via our website, nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.